Hi, this is Wayne Heimbach for Labor Express. One of the most important labor struggles over the past couple of years, really, and one of the successes of the labor movement, probably the most important one since the Teamster UPS strike of a couple of years ago, has been the situation with the Charleston Five. And they were here last night for a rally, a victory rally, but also a rally to talk about current struggles that are happening in the Chicago area. And we're talking today over breakfast. It's a good time to think about what happened over the past couple of years, what happened over the past evening, and to give a little bit of a sense of what perspective people have on what's been going on in Charleston, what's been going on around the country, and really what's been going on around the world with you guys. So let's talk a little bit about what happened on the day of the demonstration and talk about what's happened over the past couple of years and what you think about it. And could you give us your name, please?
Peter Washington, Jr.
And Peter, on the day of the demonstration, why were you out there? What was going on that you felt that you had to be there for that picket line?
Well, first of all, I feel as though we should have been there to in order to protect our job. And if we didn't stay out and doing the picket line and thing, we would probably lose that particular vessel. And if that vessel, we lost that vessel, we probably lost other shipping line also.
Yeah. So it's the kind of thing that I think working people do in this country just about every day, which is you find a problem, you go out and set up a picket line, and you protest. But that turned out to be a little bit of a different day than ordinarily happens. What happened that day?
We never would have thought that it would have turned out the way it did during the time. The first time that we went out and protest, you know, we stood on the line and nothing ever did occur. So the second time we went back out, we just stood around and picket, and nothing ever did occur. So now, after the fourth time, we went out and we saw all these police and armored cars and people all on the roof, and we didn't know what to expect when we got down there, and it just all chaos breaked out. That's just all to it. And, you know, we thought that we was doing the right thing because we had a permit to go out and protest from the city of Charleston. And we figured when we got there, everything was just, it's something that we actually didn't expect to happen. Didn't expect to see all these police with riot gear, horses, and they had armored tank. I mean, dogs and everything, you know, just trying. I mean, the way I looked at it, they had it planned. They figured that, in other words, they look at us as being hoodlum. They're going to handle us any kind of way they wanted. And in other words, I feel as though they just wanted to lock us up, get us off our job, get it all away from us, take it away.
Well, it looks like they were putting on quite a show for you. It turns out you guys were the show, in a sense. And what they did is they broke up the line. And one of the results of all of that, for you and for the rest of you here, is that you spent a lot of time under house arrest. And that must have been a difficult time. What were you thinking about during that time? I know it was difficult, it always is, but there was a struggle that was going on. How did you put it all together? What did you think about it?
Oh, well, we all was on house arrest, but it was difficult because I had kids in high school, had sons in college, and anytime I have to go out to take my son back to school or something, or take him to visit a campus or anything, I had to get permission from the lawyer and the attorney general and all of them before I able to go. And I mean, I feel as though I'm past that stage. I'm a grown man. I'm not a child. I don't feel as though we had needed to do all that. But I feel as though Charlie Condon, he felt as though we should go back to our childhood days and just sit around, let him know, and report to him as he feel that we should do. And I couldn't go to my son's soccer games or nothing. And my son was very upset about it. And it affected him a whole lot. And the kids in school, you know, sort of teased him, and he was sort of worried about it. And I spoke to him, sit down and talked to him about it. I said, now you're gonna have to handle this problem yourself. I can't be on the school bus. I can't be in school with you. You're going to have to try and handle these things. And after I spoke to him about it, he sort of leveled off with it. But it it affected him a whole lot. And my oldest son, being he was in the ROTC, he was over the whole ROTC and everything, he was a senior, he sort of kept everything under control with him by talking to him and letting him know this is something your dad had to do. If he didn't do it, your dad wouldn't be able to take you on through school, take me to college and everything. So this is where you got through school. This is the way we all earn a living. So this is something we have to do.
I mean, it seems that one of the most important things about any union struggle, it's not just the struggle for the working people that involved, but it's for their families as well. It's for the whole community. It's for everybody coming together. And I think this is a real good example of the effects when they come down on us. It's not just coming down on the individuals, but they're coming down on the community, on the family, and everything involved in that. Looking through it, I mean, how did things work out? Did your son sort of understand all the implications of everything? Did things work out? I hope they did.
Yeah, it did work out, because what we did was we had to actually call a family meeting. I had my cousin and them to come over, and we all sit down and talk to them, let them know what was going on, and try to explain it the best that we all could to them. And we, after we did that, it didn't just went away, but it's hard for a child to go through school and then facing these things. And, you know, kids will be kids. They're going to deal with each other in any way they could try to get to the next one. So that's what I mean, and I told him, you know, we got a job to do. And if we didn't stand on the picket line and we didn't go and fight for our job, we wouldn't have a job at all.
I think one of the things that kids need to learn is that it's not an easy world, and if you need to get what you want, you have to struggle for it. I think you were a perfect example of the need to fight for yourself and for your family. And I'm sure that, you know, long term, not only your son, but a lot of people throughout Charleston and really throughout the country are going to say that's the way the working people sometimes have to do it. You don't like it, you don't want it, but that's sometimes what you have to do. So anyway, thank you very much.